welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. Looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me is my fabulous co-host, Ryan.
Hello.
Since this is our inaugural episode, we'll start by giving you guys an idea of who we are as gamers and what you can expect out of our show. Then we'll jump right into some interesting developments in the news this week, and then on to our discussion of Skyrim, Zelda, and Super Mario 3D Land. So, Ryan, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself? Who are you? What systems you play on? All that kind of crap. Stuff.
That's fine. We can say that C word. It's all good. I'm Ryan, as you probably already know by now. Systems I play on. Like, I pretty much have all my bases covered, except for Sony handhelds. But, like, you know, I started mostly on Nintendo consoles, and then, like, my brother got an Xbox, and pretty much the only game I knew that was on the Xbox that was any good was Halo, so I had to beg him to get Halo. And it was the first-person shooter I ever played, which was weird, right? Most people are like, you know,
Doom. I say that 5 times fast. First-person shooter.
The first time was hard enough. But yeah, like Halo, and then I became obsessed with Halo, and that is reflected in my choice of things to show off on my shelf over here, where I have the Halo 3 helmet. That cost like what, $150? You can't even put it on. But no, then my roommates convinced me to get a PlayStation, and like in my household, like, you know, Xbox is a one thing, but like getting a Sony console is like, oh my god. My brother to this day still tells me, like, oh, Sony's crap, don't buy Sony. You know, console war stuff, right?
Yep.
Like I said, I have all of them covered. I just got a new PC. You know, I have a 3DS. It kind of sucks because, you know, you have to kind of pick your battles on what you want to play. But more on that later. What about you, Jocelyn? What do you do?
Well, I've been gaming since I was little teeny tiny. I grew up playing flag tag and GoldenEye and whipping around corners in Mario Kart, so I'm obviously a huge Nintendo fangirl, because I started off with the Super Nintendo, and I've gotten every single Nintendo console since. I've even bought some of the Nintendo consoles, GameCube, strictly for the Zelda game that came with it. So, I also was a PC gamer for a long time, and so I did things like The Sims when it first came out in, I don't know, I was in high school, so like, I don't know, somewhere around 2000. Ooh, I just dated myself. Anyways, I used to play Sims when it first came out, and SimCity before that, and then loved the Civilization franchise. So, I love all the Zelda games and Fable 3 and the Elder Scrolls series, you know, lots of the old-timey kind of medieval-themed types fantasy stuff. I'm sure I'm forgetting a whole lot of things right now. So in 2011, I purchased my very first non-Nintendo console, which was the Xbox 360, which takes up all my time now. It's actually kind of a bit of an obsession. But I've officially now graduated to my big girl console, so it's an exciting time for me.
That's very good.
So now I think we're going to move on to our news segment, which we're calling Don't Kill the Messenger. So Courier has just arrived, and he's bringing us tidings from far-off lands. And what we're hearing is apparently Miyamoto stepped down. Oh, wait, he didn't? Oh, no, he is. Oh, he's stepping aside. So what do you think about this whole situation, Ryan? Do you think that it's a good idea for Nintendo?
I don't think it's not a good idea, but it makes sense, right? Because Miyamoto was, and we're going to say his name wrong three
so
or four different
times.
And that is not on purpose. If I were to meet this man, I would be like, totally, like, thank you for like all the great games you've created.
I would say, if I ever actually met him, I wouldn't even be able to get his name out. So I'd just be like, dumbstruck.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it makes sense. I mean, he's not going to be the first person to say, like, oh, you know, I'm a robot and you'll never get rid of me, Nintendo, like, as much as Nintendo love that. He's a human being. They all know that he can't do this forever, but he wants to, right? He said on many occasions that, like, he wants to do this until the day he dies, and he'll probably never retire. What he's actually doing is he's giving more responsibility to the younger staff so they can, you know, make these games when he isn't around or when he's off doing other projects, right? So really what we're looking at is Miyamoto is stepping aside.
Sorry.
It's fine. I know I said it wrong. We have the giggle track. Anyways, what was I saying? He stepped aside so these younger people can create these games. And so really what we're looking at here is, you know, he's teaching these people to think and act like him as a great game designer. I mean, not everybody agrees that every decision he's made is golden, and neither do I. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Wii Music. I think it's a good thing, and he's not going anywhere. If anything, he's gonna just his influence is gonna spread as he tries and gets all these people to, you know, act and think like him. Sort of like what Steve Jobs did before he passed away, right? Where he kind of raised a team of mini Steve Jobs to take over the world.
Right. And I mean, I completely agree with you. I think that it's a problem facing many companies right now that all of their, you know, their whole workforce is aging, right? With the baby boomers and all that kind of stuff. And they're all starting to retire. And then there aren't enough experienced young people because, you know, some of these people have been in their jobs for 25, 30 years or more. So they need to, you know, nurture the younger people, give them more experience, give them more responsibility while they're still around to kind of guide them, as opposed to just being like, okay, well, retiring, so yeah, I'm out, you know? So I think it's a great idea. If he actually ends up stepping aside and giving more responsibility to the younger developers, I think it's the best thing Nintendo has done in years, because they used to be really innovative, and now they seem like they're always playing catch-up with everybody else, and they don't do a great job even at playing catch-up. So I think that if this is the way that they're going, and if he's going to give more responsibility to the younger people, then it's the perfect move. I'm really happy with this whole idea.
Yeah, and a great example of it is that if you look at, and I don't know if you played these games, Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2.
Yes.
Super Mario Galaxy had this weird, like, story, right? And that was Miyamoto hated that, right? And he's gone on record as saying, like, you know, Mario games are about fun and should have nothing to do with story. But the director, I think, and again, I don't claim to know, like, everything about game development and how this worked, but I think the director wanted to inject more of a story, and that's the one thing that this, you know, younger generation at Nintendo was able to slip in, and that was this weird kind of story. And I never really got it, you know, mm-hmm. Japanese story, but
But I mean, Mario Galaxy did amazing. So did two.
So did two. But it's a good example that, like, you know, Miyamoto stepping back, letting the younger generation go in and kind of create this game. And then in two, coming back and saying, no, you try to put a story in there again and phew, you're out on your butt. probably not the exact words he used, but no, I just think it's interesting. And I think in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, we're going to see something very different from all of the different Nintendo franchises. Like,
I agree.
Look at the most recent, like, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Oh, you know? I thought you were going to say Zelda. I was like, don't even bring Zelda yet.
I'm just thinking about, like, franchises they've passed on to, like, you know, on contract. You get good ones like the Metroid Prime series and Donkey Kong Country Returns, but then you get crappy ones, like, not crappy, but not so good ones in terms of Metroid Other M, which was done by Tecmo, right? So,
ooh, I have some friends that are not going to agree with you on that one.
But they didn't – they liked it?
Yes.
Oh,
I played it. It is the reason to buy a Wii.
Oh, really? Other M?
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, I don't know. And like, you know, wrapping this up, I read recently that Miyamoto has, you know, in interviews stated that Retro, the guys behind Prime and Donkey Kong Country Returns, might actually have a hand in the next Zelda game as well, as like a partnership. So I think that would be very interesting too, to kind of get some Western developers on that franchise, because it's really just been an Asian market type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So we're ready to move on here. We have the Xbox 360 dashboard reboot, which went live, I think, last week.
Last week, yeah. I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember now. But, Yeah, I think it looks fantastic. I heart it.
You do.
I do.
No, I don't know about you. Well, actually, I do. Because notes. But I have a Kinect, and I know one of the biggest letdowns about the Kinect is I bought it because it was Blockbuster was having a fire sale, right? So I picked one up on the cheap. So I just connected it and bought a few games for it. But the one thing that really upset me was that you basically had to go to a sub-menu to use the Kinect to control your Xbox.
Oh.
But now with the new update, you can control everything. Like, I can just – I can sit on my couch and just kind of like – like, you swipe through the menus, right? Kind of like Minority Report, but they won't even let you do it.
Sweet.
Like, it's like you have to slap the TV, like slap the air to get it to go, right? I was actually just trying to do it like normally, like just waving my hand through the air. But if you don't do it fast enough, it doesn't catch the motion, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have to literally like – it's like you're slapping the air to kind of get get the screens to move by. Now, mind you, I've only used it for about a half hour just kind of playing around with it. But
and then your arms got tired?
Well, no. Then no, I was going to make a Minority Report joke. I won't do that. I don't know. I don't use my Xbox very much, to be honest.
Blasphemy.
Well, I beat Batman, and then I kind of just moved on. Yeah, we'll get back to that. But yeah, no, the voice controls is very good. But in terms of Netflix or in terms of the Kinect, like I think that's a big feature. But you don't have a Kinect, so what did you
I think? Don't have a Kinect, but what I do like is the way that you move through things now is kind of more side to side as opposed to like the up and down. And I found it used to like the motion was of the menu was really like if I went through it too many times or too quickly, it kind of made me like seasick almost. So I like the back and forth side to side thing. And the Netflix app is so much better now. It's so easy to find things and and scroll through and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that the updates to the apps as well as just the dashboard itself are fantastic. I'm very happy with it. The one thing I don't like is the themes, because I know, not that I have a PlayStation, but I've seen PlayStations before, obviously, because I haven't been living under a rock. But in the PlayStation, they have like a very basic kind of background, which the Xbox has. And it might just be that I haven't found how to change this feature yet, because I haven't played around with it too much. I pretty much sit down in front of my Xbox and then go, Skyrim, go. So I haven't had to really move around a lot in the menus and everything else. But the theme in the PlayStation, you can have the one kind of plain blank theme that you don't have to pay for, but you can choose what color you want, and there's a whole bunch of different color choices. Whereas in the Xbox One, there's, I think, 3 or 4 default themes, and you can't change the color. And I don't really like any of the themes except for the gray one, except I wish the gray was like a blue or green or something. And you can't just go in and pick your background color, so I'm not a big fan of that. But I mean, it might be something coming in a later update. It might be something I haven't found yet. I don't know. So like I say, I haven't played with it too much, but I really like the navigation the way it looks right now. So I'm pretty happy with that. So yeah, we just wanted to throw in a quick reminder at the end of our news segment here, talking about Steam and their fantastic holiday sales, which are starting now. So I think today, which I'm sure by the time we get this podcast out, it won't be on sale anymore. But Ryan, you tweeted earlier about a sale. Wasn't it something was on for $2.50? What was that?
I saw that Limbo was on sale.
Oh, Limbo. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And I played that game last summer, I think it
was. Yeah, me too.
And on the Xbox. And wow, like
it's so good.
You have to play it. Like I personally probably will not play it again, because it is kind of like one of those experiences that you go through, you've done it, and that's my honest opinion. I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with that.
I think I might play it through again, because I don't think I got any achievements on the first way through. So I might play it through again to try to get all the achievements, but and I mean the art style in that game was amazing too. So for $2.50, like, you should, if there's a way to like donate to the developers like an extra like $10 on top of that $2.50, then that would be fantastic, because it's such a good game.
You like, wait for the sale to end and
or, well, yeah,
price.
I guess you could do that, but if you want to pick it up for $2.50, it's available on Steam right now for $2.50, and there's sales like that going on all the time, like all through the month. And you know, like was it Oblivion was on for sale, and Bastion from the Summer was on sale a few weeks ago. So, you know, just keep your eyes open because the Steam holiday sales are happening.
And they're only going to get crazier. Like, basically, I have a daily ritual where I will, at 1 o'clock when I get back from lunch, I will just go to my phone, load up Steam, and see what's on sale. And, like, if it's something that I would want to buy, I even just buy it on my phone, and it's there when I get home after it's downloaded. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, but I never miss a sale, right?
I didn't even know that you could do that until you told me that, like, a week ago, because I got so upset that I missed one of the sales. I can't even remember which game it was, but I was so upset. It was Bastion, yeah, so I missed that, and I was so upset, and then I was like, and Ryan's like, oh, you can do it from your phone. I was like, damn it!
Well, you're welcome, and I'm sorry.
That's right, you better apologize. Okay, so let's move on to what we're playing. So we're calling this segment Burning the Midnight Oil. So Ryan, what's been keeping you up at night?
Zelda. Mainly.
Fail.
No, I was gonna make a joke about nightmares, but it just didn't feel right because Zelda is such a great game. This is Skyward Sword, obviously, and you know, very well reviewed by many people, not named Jocelyn. But no, like, don't get me wrong, the game is definitely on the Wii, and it's definitely motion controlled, and it definitely does not look as good as Skyrim, but. I knew that going in, and I actually don't mind motion control. You know, like, I don't mind the precision control. I think it's actually kind of cool, in the sense that, like, I can basically, when I move my Wiimote, I see Link move his sword, right?
Which, you know, I appreciate that too, but I find, like, maybe I'm not holding it properly or something, and I'm just not used to motion control, but I find it so frustrating because I know how I want the sword to move, and I think that I'm moving it that way, but maybe I'm missing a flick of the wrist, or, you know, I'm not twisting the remote enough or something, but there's something that's just a little bit off that if I was pushing a button, it would be fine. I don't even mind, like, the combo ones where you're like, A, B, B, Y, A, you know, to do some fancy move. I'd rather do that than try to do the fancy move with my hand. I'm not a sword fighter, so...
Yeah.
Button pusher.
And you played Twilight Princess on the GameCube, right?
I did. This is my first Zelda motion controlled game.
See, I played Twilight Princess on the Wii. Like, when I bought the Wii, I came home with Twilight Princess and Red Steel, and Twilight Princess, like, on the Wii was the game I played for. It was like a 40-hour game, and, you know, it was good. But it wasn't like – it's not like Skyward Sword in the sense that the motion control is actually kind of spot on, right? But I can see how someone would be frustrated with the controls because it is still motion and it is still limited to how well you can move the Wiimote. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing it right, the game doesn't think you're doing – and I'm not saying you're doing it wrong.
Oh, you're totally criticizing my sword play.
All I'm saying is that it's very easy to do it wrong because it's you know –
Anyway. Okay, so sorry. Moving on. Yeah, I promise I will stop bashing Zelda now. Hands off. We're going to talk about why Ryan thinks it's fantastic, because he does. Okay. So, go.
Yeah, I'm going to stop defending it and just talk about it. But right now, I'm near the end. I've gotten to the point where the game-ending glitch is talked about a lot, so I've kind of made sure I'm not going to do – I'm going to do the exact opposite of what you need to do to get that glitch, which basically skips over your game.
There's a game-ending glitch. I think that I don't know if we want to do the whole spoiler thing right now, but I think that you need to, like, email me after we get off the mic, because honestly, if I get, like, I'm so frustrated with this game, if I get all the way to wherever this glitch is and then all of a sudden I just can't play anymore,
it's 30 hours
in. I'll throw it through the window.
It's 30 hours in. I don't think we have to worry about you getting there anytime soon.
Touche, touche.
But it's the thing I like about this Zelda game the most is that it really changes things up in the sense that you're not going from one place to the other. You're not going from a dungeon to dungeon to dungeon. You really just kind of, like, there are four main areas in the sense that you have, you know, you have the main hub world, which is Skyloft, and you fly around in the sky. And then you have your three subworlds, which is, like, basically boiled down to forest, volcano, and desert. And you kind of revisit those throughout your quest, kind of like, okay, this time I'm going to go to the forest temple, and this time I'm going to go to the water temple in the forest area. And you're really just – you're doing different things to get to the temple each time. You're doing different things in the temples to get to the end boss. Mind you, some of the stuff you're doing to get to the temples is really annoying. Like most are fetch quests, and they're like – it's like, okay, now you need to find five pieces of the key to get into the dungeon.
Oh, God, I hated that one so much.
I just want to get into the dungeon, man. Like, I had to spend an hour looking for keys so I could get into the stuff that makes Zelda such a great game. But besides, that's pretty much my only problem with it. But other than that, like, I'm really liking the main boss guy. He's really creepy.
He's creepy with the like showing up right behind you and smelling your neck and stuff. I'm like, whoa, dude.
It's like, man. Link, you better talk to your HR representative. This guy's getting really close. Like, it's weird. It's super Japanese in the sense that they have this weird creepy guy licking his lips and coming up next to you. And,
yeah.
It's like we're not even talking about Legend of Zelda anymore.
I know. We're going off on some crazy weird Catherine trip here.
Yeah, but I really dig the swordplay. I really dig the writing. I think the writing's really well done some parts.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. What do you think of the difficulty level? Because that's one thing that I find with Zelda and just Nintendo games in general is they don't usually have, like, a difficulty setting. So in, like, say, Skyrim, there's five different difficulty settings. So if you're having a really hard time with a dungeon or something like that, you can just, like, turn it down for that dungeon, turn it back up again, or, you know, whatever else. And with Zelda, I find that it is really lacking in that area because I really want it to be a whole lot harder. Like, I find the end bosses in the temples and stuff, I'm just like, well, I figured out how to beat you, and so I just have to do that 3 to 5 times, and I'm done. So,
yeah.
And just, what are your thoughts on difficulty settings and if that would add anything to the game?
I think Nintendo, especially the Japanese developers, are like, they are... in their mindset, they want this game to be played by everybody. So when they set out, they don't think about difficulty levels. They make it the game they want to make. And then, you know, like, look at it this way. Like, Metroid Other M was a little bit different in the sense that it was like a side-scrolling. It was a little more difficult. The Prime games were a little more difficult in the sense that you died a lot if you... and sometimes most of it was due to controls. But, and I think with Zelda, the main reason it's so much more difficult, it's a little more difficult than other Zelda games in the sense that there's the combat that you have to kind of battle as well as the enemies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now this time you're not just Z-targeting the skeleton and just chopping away at him till he's dead or like running in and kind of doing the jump slash. You're really just, you have to, I found I died on just basic moblin things that were like,
oh yeah,
blocking my stupid friggin' swipes. And I'm just like, why are
you
doing
don't
this?
If you don't Z-target them, they don't block you. Not nearly as much, because it's like they can't anticipate what you're doing.
Oh.
Yeah, I found that out, because I was getting so frustrated.
So, well, there you go. Tip of the week. Don't Z-target and just flail your arm.
And just swing like crazy.
Me
playing Zelda, it should be recorded, because it's just hilarious. It's me sitting on my couch going, just like swinging my arms and yelling at the screen, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just really like the console Zelda games, and I find it really hard. Like, I'm a gamer. Like, I'm an apologetic gamer. Like, I'm just like, I don't care. You don't like it.
Canadian.
There's no Canadians in this game, unfortunately. From what I've been able to tell. But I find with the Zelda games and with the Nintendo games, I'm always like, you know, I like it. I'm gonna play all the way through it. I don't really – I see your criticisms and I raise you, hey, look, it's a new Zelda game. You get these once every 5 years and you should be happy with what you get.
I know.
And, you know, the next
I'll come
Zelda
back
games,
to it. I will come back to it. Like, it's a Zelda game. I'll play it through because it's a Zelda game. And, yeah, so – but.
And I don't even know what to say to like – and I would never be able to review this game because I don't know what to say to make it sound like it's a 10 out of 10 game. All I have to say to myself
is, I don't know how those reviews happened.
It's a new Zelda game. I love the Zelda series. I seem to find something enjoyable out of it. And That's just the way I'm probably going to beat it. I think this weekend I'll have a lot of time. So I'll probably beat it this weekend. And then, you know, the Wii gets ignored for
again
forever. I think that'll be the last game that really gets in there. And
yeah, I don't really think that they're – I mean, I haven't been paying that close attention to the Nintendo release schedule, but I don't think there's anything else coming out because they're planning on having their console pretty much ready to launch next year, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're saying 2012 at some point.
Yeah, so we definitely won't get another Zelda game on this console. So, I mean, unless they do another Galaxy or something, but I don't think that's happening. So there's nothing really else that would make me pick up my Wii over my Xbox, realistically.
Yeah. Why will you get a Wii U?
Probably because it will come with more Zelda games.
Eventually.
Eventually, yeah. But I probably won't pick it up on launch, no. I mean, it looks kind of weird and, you know, I like my Xbox. I might be getting a PlayStation for Christmas, so if I have two consoles and my PC my PC has been so neglected. I feel so bad for it. There's like three things that I would want to play on before I would pick up a Wii, or Wii U or whatever. So I don't really think that that's going to be happening, which is like the first time since I've been buying consoles that I haven't thought of getting the Nintendo console right on launch. So I think that says something
for the company. There needs to be like a Nintendo franchise for me to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And if there isn't, then I usually ignore it. Anything really, like I if there was Pikmin 3 on the Wii U, day one purchase. I love that series, and it would work so well with that tablet. But anyways, I think I've rambled enough about Zelda.
Yeah.
Like again, looking back at that conversation, I don't even know if I said any. Like you probably just fast forwarded. When's this guy gonna stop talking about Zelda? He hasn't said anything concrete. But all I can say is really like if you've played the other ones and enjoyed them. And you don't mind motion controls, and you don't mind your Wii on an HD TV, then you're good to go. But speaking of HD TVs, Jocelyn, you've been playing a lot of Skyrim.
Oh, I love Skyrim. Mm-hmm. It's, like, amazing. I know everyone's been saying this, and we won't go on for Skyrim very long because, you know, it's been out for a month now, so.
And Ryan talked too much about Zelda.
Yeah, and, you know, we're running on, and we don't want to make this, like, a two-hour podcast. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, basically, I love the game. I want to play it more and more and more. I haven't finished the main quest line yet because I've been kind of saving it. Not because I think that I won't be able to go back to the game or anything, but I just, I don't really want to finish the main quest. I did the same thing in Oblivion. I got to where I knew it was, like, going to be the big final battle, so I didn't go and meet up with them at the castle. I just kind of went around and explored the world and finished off, you know, whatever quests I could find and stuff before I finish the main storyline. So I might go back to, I haven't actually hit any bugs in my quests, knock on wood. So I think I'm going to keep going along all the alternate quest lines and stuff like that before I go back to the main story. So as of right now, I'm at 22 out of 50 achievements. I'm not even halfway there. I keep getting sidetracked by just stupid little things like wandering around and picking things and selling things and just not really doing anything except for walking. But, you know, I am vowing to complete all 50 achievements because there aren't any DLC achievements or Xbox Live achievements, which like was one thing that really ticked me off about Fable 3. I bought the game. I was super excited to play it. And then I loaded it up, and then in the achievement menu, it's like, marry an Xbox Live player, have a kid with an Xbox Live player. Even, like, opening all the demon doors you can't do without another Xbox Live player. And I'm like, well, what if I don't have any friends to play Fable 3, which I don't. Well, I have one, but basically, it's like I don't have a whole bunch of people that play the game, so based on they're not playing, or in this case, my friend is over in England, so it's like, you know, the big time difference, and we're very rarely playing at the same time. So if I can't play with him, then I can't get my achievements. And same with the DLC. I have the arcade version, so up until just recently, I only had the 4 gig hard drive. So I don't have a lot of downloadable stuff on my machine because it's so teeny. So when I see a whole bunch of DLC achievements, I'm like, well, but I know that I will never get those because I don't have the storage space or, you know, the money to buy it at the time or whatever else. So, you know, there's this, like, game that I love and I've played through twice and I've gotten as many achievements as I possibly can, I'm still only like halfway through the achievements strictly because of those reasons. So I love Skyrim and I love that there's none of that crap. So 22 out of 50 is very shortly going to be 50 out of 50, barring any bugs. Mm. Knocking on wood again.
Yes. Now, I don't know if you've completed your Skyrim rant, but speaking of bugs, like, I beat the main quest and it was the only major quest line that wasn't bugged for me. Like, I wanted to do the Thieves Guild quests and I got about halfway through, and now I've hit a wall with that one where, like, the main quest giver is like standing there waiting. It's like saying, "Oh, I'll meet you in blah blah blah," but you're not moving. Hello.
Have you tried going to where they say they're going to meet you instead of just like following where the arrow points to, or, you know, waiting for them to go? Because I did that. I almost had a bugged out quest. I joined the rebellion, and then like halfway through the rebellion, I was supposed to go get my orders from one guy, and then he told me to get orders from another guy, but the arrow was still over top of his head. Mm. And so after talking to him a couple of times, I was like, well, he keeps telling me the same thing, so I'm just going to go to the other guy and see what happens. And then, so he didn't have the arrow on top of his head, but the conversation items were there when I got to him. Okay. And then, so I just did the stuff with the new guy, and then my quest kind of, like, unbugged itself. Like, it just went to, like, step three, even though technically it thought I hadn't completed step one yet. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I've went to where we're supposed to meet, and like basically everyone in that room is reacting as if we're both there, but she's not, so I can't talk to her.
Oh.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I'm on the PC, so I could easily just like console command get the, you know, woman to move where she needs to move. But you know, I was just like, man, you know, I'll just come back to it. And then I went to the Winterfeld College of Mages or whatever, and that one's bugged. Like, the stupid teacher's like, "Stand right there, and then I'm going to shoot a spell at you, and then you're going to deflect it." And I'm like, "Expelliarmus," and he doesn't do anything.
See, I don't think that one's bugged. That one's just kind of tricky, because I had the same thing. Is I thought, because he wasn't actually firing anything at me. So I think you have to, like, cast your spell first or be standing in a specific spot. I can't remember, but...
Again, like, these are documented bugs. Like, if you search the bug, and then, like, you get, like, the Skyrim wiki where people are like, "Oh, well, it's been reported that this happens." And I'm like, "Well, great." Oh. but I did beat the main quest, and, like, for me, I'm a single-player gamer. So, like, when I finish a main quest, it's kind of like, all right, I've done the main thing in this game, and I've done 35 hours in Skyrim, so I could easily move on to something else.
I think I was, last time I checked was like, well, I haven't been playing much this week, actually. I've been distracted with other stuff, but I think I was, last time I checked, I was at 79 hours, and that was like this time last week, so.
Wow. See, yeah. I think I just need to play, I need to stop being a weirdo who needs sleep and just stay up really late.
Oh man, I've been staying up so late. Like, Skyrim actually has been keeping me up at night, because, like, I'll get all my other stuff done. Like, last night, I was up working on, you know, the logo for this and you know, the show notes and stuff like that. And then I had some other stuff to do. And by the time I finished everything else that I had to do, it was like 12:30 at night. And I'm like, Skyrim? Skyrim.
Oh, there's your problem.
Yep.
I'll come back to it. But man. I don't know. I really do want to come back to it, but I'm torn, right? Because, like, Zelda, I'm almost done Zelda, but I have the Tor game now as well.
Oh, Old yeah, Republic. you got your early whatever thingy email thing, right?
I haven't started yet. I haven't clicked that button. So I know a lot of people are like, really? You got early access and I'm sitting here waiting for my email and you're just sitting on it.
Yep.
Like, it's a throne of some kind. An Iron Throne, maybe.
Yes.
We'll get back.
See, I don't have my Star Wars yet. I got told by my mom that I was not allowed to buy anything for myself so close to Christmas. So, therefore, I did not buy Star Wars. If I don't get it for Christmas, I'm going to lose it.
Literally.
Yep. Because I've been so good not buying myself Star Wars, because it's going to be my first ever MMO. And, you know, some people already know that, but I have never played WoW. I've never played Rift. So Star Wars is, you know, like Star Wars plus MMO, like, pfft, I'm in heaven. So it's going to be my first MMO experience, and I'm super psyched for it. And it's taken all my willpower to wait until the 25th, which, I mean, it's released on the 20th. Like, I'm waiting an extra 5 days for this. And then I'm not even going to be able to play right away because I'm going away for New Year's. So it's going to be like January by the time I actually get to play.
We're already going to be in the end game.
And going, I know. I know. I'm going to be like 2 weeks late. Well, 3 weeks if you've got the early access. So yeah, I'm going to be like 3 weeks behind everyone else. Everyone else is going to be like level whatever, 80, 85, whatever it's going to go up to. And I'm just going to be like, oh man. Not only am I like a noob in this friggin' Star Wars, but I'm also just a noob to MMOs in general. Everyone's going to be like, psh, we don't want to play with her.
I think you'll be fine. Like, yeah. I don't know. I was really excited about it, and when I got that email, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be able to come home, I'm going to be able to play it, but again, like, I'm the kind of person who weirdly has, like, this single-track mind that where I don't like to stop playing a game to play another game, because mm-hmm. then I don't come back to it.
Yeah. You know?
But anyways, that's getting ahead of ourselves, but...
Yeah. You're being a gaming whore, not like myself, who's in a monogamous relationship with Skyrim, and you have yet another game that you're playing...
Yeah, I usually am playing two or three games at a time and just jumping back and forth. But one other game worth noting is the Super Mario 3D Land on the 3DS, and I just blew through the 8 worlds like pretty quickly, like, and I loved every little level, and it's such a great, like, just a Mario. I love all the Mario platforming games, but I find that they're all very similar, but this one's different in the sense that, like, it's kind of, like, more scaled back in the sense that the levels are really short, and you can kind of get through them in about 2 minutes or so.
Really?
And, yeah, they're very short, which is good, because you can pretty much do, like, a whole world in an hour, right?
That's pretty good for portable gaming. You don't want anything mm-hmm. that you have to kind of pause and come back to, you know? Like, you want really, really quick things that you can just get through, like if you have a 2-stop bus ride or something, you can pound out a level and then go. So I think that's a good move for Nintendo.
It's really the first game on the 3DS that I've actually played all the way through. I mean, I put a good amount of time into Ocarina of Time, but never beat it again. But this game controls really well. Mario is really responsive, and I find that they're, again, like Mario Galaxy, they're always switching it up in the sense that the levels are always different. And, you know, after Galaxy, there's no way they could have gone back to the standard, like, flat levels where it's a motif where it's like, okay, this is the fire world, this is the water world, this is the, you know, classic brick world. Whereas now it's kind of like this weird open... like mini, it's like Mario Galaxy, but they just keep switching it up. And if you have a 3DS, if you bought one and you have nothing to play on it, like, that's the game to get. And if you don't have a 3DS and you like Mario games, I would suggest saving your money and picking one up.
So do you think the 3DS is worth picking up as opposed to just having like a regular DS or another portable gaming system? Like, the 3DS is actually something that you might want to go buy? Well, I mean, obviously you've already bought it, but I haven't, so.
I bought it. I don't do a lot of portable gaming, but I like to play. Like, I'm not in the sense that, like, oh, I can't buy a 3DS. I don't take the bus. I don't take the train. For me, it's like, okay, this is a chance for me to, like, lay down on the couch, play, like, a small game. But, you know, if I didn't have a 3DS, I wouldn't be able to play the newest Mario game. So the way I see that is I buy it so I can play the new Nintendo games. But I would suggest if you really like the Nintendo franchises, you should probably get that platform. Whereas with the Vita that's going to be coming out, like, if you really like the Sony platform games, like, you know, Uncharted or Resistance.
Little Big Planet.
If you like those games, you know, get a Vita. I think when it comes down to the handhelds, if taking out of the equation that you don't travel, you game at home and that's about it. It's more about the games,
right?
You know, because, and 3D is really cool if you can stomach that, but you
is
don't
it
have
like
to play.
I don't know. I haven't actually had a 3DS in my hand, so I haven't seen what it looks like. But the 3D, you like the 3D on it?
When I first turned it on, I was like, and I think everyone kind of does this if they see it right. I was like a 10-year-old kid, like maybe not 10, like 5. Like, it's just excited to see something new, and you just don't, you don't get that very often, right?
Yeah.
You don't turn something on and be like, you're reverted to a childlike state where you're like, oh my god, that's so cool. You know, like the first time you played Super Mario 64, it's astounding. But
I'm gonna stop saying fantastic. I promise. I'll pick a new word soon.
But yeah, the 3D, you can scroll it down, you can turn it off. I find you know, turning it on is cool for a bit, and I turn it off for a bit, and the game isn't really affected by that. There are rooms where it helps to have the 3D on because you can basically tell the you can see, oh, well, that's the solution to the puzzle right there. Mm. Because I can see that the block is definitely disconnected from the other pile of blocks. And
I see.
But no, it's straight up Mario.
So does that mean it's kind of glitchy because you can see things like that? Or
no, that's the point of having the 3D on, so you can kind of see that, you know?
Oh, I see.
Whereas if you weren't on 3D, you'd have to search for, like, the camera position switch that, like, when you stand on it, the camera shifts to show you, oh, that block is positioned,
yeah.
You know. But yeah, if you're a Nintendo fan, like, this is your excuse to buy a 3DS. You got Super Mario 3D Land, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, which is a great port and looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Mario Kart. So, I mean,
yeah. Sounds like you're a bigger Nintendo fangirl than I am.
I like to think I'm a pretty big fangirl from Nintendo. I've been known to be into the Nintendo stuff, and like the Wii is my Nintendo machine. Like, I don't play any other games on it because mm-hmm. they're just not that
no
good.
There are no other games because it's a Nintendo system.
Yeah, it's a real problem. But no. Anyways, Super Mario 3D Land. If you have a 3DS, you should get it.
Perfect. Shall we move on to what I think is going to be my favorite segment?
Yes, this is we're going to be moving on to Strat Chat.
Woohoo!
Where, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, more in depth about a game that we're playing and kind of discuss how we approach the game and how we would recommend going through a game. And we're going to be talking about Skyrim, so, you know, for me,
I'm sure that this is probably going to be our last time we're going to talk about Skyrim, so.
Yeah.
So, for everyone who's probably getting sick of Skyrim talk after a month, yeah.
Especially if you aren't playing it.
Yeah, I know.
But no, like, let's go on with this. And Jocelyn, why don't you explain, like, how you're playing through Skyrim right now?
Okay, so the character that I picked is the High Elf, and that was before I realized that everyone in Skyrim hates you if you're not a Nord. Man, they can be mean. Especially the little kids. They're the worst. Anyway, so I picked a High Elf because she looked really cool. And I liked the Highborn ability because you can regenerate your magic really quickly. And I generally play, if not exclusively as a mage-type character, then at least, you know, like half of my skill is magic. And then the other half is, like, in this case, I'm playing with a one-handed sword. So I have my sword in one hand and my magic in the other. But generally, I just try to, like, burn the crud out of everybody before they even get close enough for me to have to swing my sword. So to kind of counteract that, because I was more heavily using my magic than my sword, I played with the Warrior Blessing for a long time, and so that had me learning my one-handed skill 20% faster than if I didn't have the Warrior Blessing. And that worked pretty quickly, actually. I leveled my sword up really fast, so I've since switched over to the Steed Blessing because I finally found that stone. And I keep forgetting to bring along that stupid Lydia because she's so annoying. And especially when you try to give her things and she's like, I have to carry your burden or whatever it is that she says. And she dies quickly. And even when I give her things like weapons to use and armor to wear, she still dies. So with the Steed Blessing, I think I can carry 40 points more or 40% more and 40 points more and armor doesn't cost me anything to carry or something like that. So yeah, I've been using that, so that was pretty good. But I think I'm gonna switch back to the Warrior Blessing because my sword's pretty much stopped leveling up, so Yeah, I'm just gonna have to bring my annoying companion. But and also I've been playing through the way that I've been playing is I've been trying to keep the achievements in mind as I'm going through, and obviously only being at 22 out of 50, I'm not doing that great of a job. I end up just wandering around a lot and randomly killing things and collecting stuff, and it's so easy to do that in Skyrim that I try to kind of pull myself back every once in a while and go back to the quests. And so I've been trying to use the achievements to keep in the quest lines to keep myself going, but yeah, it's not like I'm not being pulled into the game because obviously at 80 hours of playtime, I'm loving it. So what about you, Ryan? What character did you choose to play?
Well, see, when I the problem with open world, these huge choose your own adventure like video games, is that I am scared by choice. So like I see eight different character races and I'm like, oh my god, what's the default? Nord. All right, let's do it. So I picked Nord. Like I styled my guy. I obviously didn't make him blonde. I think that was the default one. That
Yeah,
sounded
who
really
wants to be
rude.
blind?
I think the original, I just mean like I think the original
No,
like
I
thing
got the
that pops
insult.
up
Fine.
is blonde. And I think I changed mine to brown. And with like red goatee and anyways, that has nothing to do with Strat Chat, but anyways, you know, I just picked the default and then like whatever works best for me, like I have a bow, you know, I'll shoot and shoot and shoot until the guy gets up close, then switch to like a healing hand and a sword and but nowadays, like when things get up, they don't get close to me. Like they're down, get a couple arrows in the face, and phew,
Not
they're out. No, I don't aim for the knee.
the knee. Okay, so you play with the archery skill, and I cannot do, like, I can't take the time. I can't handle the, having to be really accurate and build up my archery skill. Like, I've tried, I have a couple of bows in my inventory, and, sometimes I use them if I'm sneaking around and trying to get, like, some stealth kill points or something like that. But I generally steer away from archery because I just find it so finicky. So you found that, obviously you've completed the main quest line, so you must have been able to level up to make yourself effective. But did you find like the learning curve with the archery skill and the bow was worth the payoff in the end?
Yeah, I think so. Basically, it takes some time to get up there, and like before you get like the slow speed, like you slow time by zooming in, and you know you get more crits hit in the head and blah blah blah. But like, I just find that you kind of have to. You hit a certain point where then it becomes okay. Archery is the way to go. But I kind of regret like not playing. Like melee, I love the idea of a first-person melee game where you're just up in their face and you're blocking and.
Oh man, I leveled up my sword high enough that I have like a, I think 25 or 50% chance of like one swing and decapitating someone. And there was like, I guess last week, there was a time I played for like 3 hours and every single person I came up to, I was just like, shing, and their head went flying off and there's blood everywhere. And I literally had nightmares because you're first person and just walking up to them and you're just like, boom, no more head. And yeah, it actually gave me nightmares. Like it kept me up at night.
Yeah,
It was like
see,
a Quentin Tarantino movie in my head, and it was awful.
I mean, the best part about archery, or I guess the worst part, is that you don't get like the cool animations. The best you get is if you can nail a guy in the head while stealth, and like as soon as that arrow hits his head and he's dead, he goes flying and just limp. And that's the best thing. That's the only thing you get out of like the kills. But when you're like melee, at least you can get like the special kills and stuff. And
Oh yeah, and there's all the little cut scenes and like the decapitation scenes and stuff like that. So I understand.
yeah.
And the game would, now that I've seen it with those fancy cut scenes, I think it would be missing something if I didn't have that. So, I can see how it might not be as exciting for you in your combat sequences because you're using the bow and you don't get the payoff at the end. So
Yeah, you're really just running through and like, okay, I'm gonna take these guys on. And then if you end up like taking on a group of like eight guys, it's like shoot arrow, like do the pushback spell, run away, and then start shooting, shooting, shooting. And it feels like you're cheating, you know, like you're not playing the game right in the sense that
Ha ha ha.
you're shooting these guys, running away, then shooting the guys, and dragons are even more different. You just send Lydia in, she like just dies at it. I've had her. The only time I've had her die is when I accidentally shoot her in the head with an arrow. And I gotta admit,
what's her fault for getting in the way?
Well, I don't want her to die. You know,
you're very attached to her.
She, you know, we've been through thick and thin, and one of these days, I think Lydia would make a good slave. So I'm just gonna keep her. And
I totally thought you were gonna say like wife, because you have to get married. Well, you don't have to get married, but there's an achievement for getting married in the game. So I totally thought you were gonna say one of these days I'm gonna settle down, she'll make a good wife. But no, you went slave. Classy.
Well, I mean, she's already complaining. I have to stop myself. She's already complaining that she's holding some crap, right? So I don't know. Maybe a paid slave. I don't
know. Oh, man. Okay, so I think that wraps up our strat chat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You interrupt this broadcast.
Oh, man. Jocelyn's uncontrollable giggling.
Yeah, you try to gather yourself there, and I'll... I can't remember. I'm moving us on, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to move into the meat of the podcast. Topic of the week, and is the bard in the corner has sparked some interesting conversation amongst the innkeepers. So, and today we're going to be talking about planning your game purchases, especially during the busy end of October, early November. Those are the big times where games are constantly being released during that month period. And really, Jocelyn, I'll start with you. You know, how do you budget / plan your game purchases in such a busy season where games are coming twice a week?
Well, normally I just buy, whatever I want, in that I don't have a PlayStation, so that whole bunch of games is kind of, out anyways. And then this year was the first year really where there were multiple releases that I really wanted to play all at one time. So I actually made a plan this year, and I was so excited about Skyrim and Skyward Sword, and they came out a week apart. So I decided that I was just going to forget my life for a week, and I was going to beat Skyrim. And I actually said I'm going to beat Skyrim in a week, because I was stupid and naive like that. Because I wanted to beat Skyrim before Zelda came out so that I could have Skyrim completely off my plate and just go for Zelda. So I realized I actually had to still go to work so I could have money in order to buy Zelda. So that took up a big chunk of my week, obviously, as work normally does. So I didn't end up actually being able to complete Skyrim before Zelda came out. So on the plus side, I tried Zelda, and it wasn't, as everybody knows, I wasn't as huge a fan as I thought I would be, so it worked out well in the end, because it was easy to put it aside and then go back to my one true love, which is Skyrim. What about you? Did you have any kind of plan or, anything going on?
I'm pretty bad when it comes to planning. The best thing I can do for planning is to kind of look at a release list and say, I want that. And it doesn't matter if they kind of overlap. For example, Skyrim came out, and I had Uncharted 3 came out, and I had every intention to beat it before Skyrim. And then Skyrim came out, and I had every intention to kind of get into it and kind of, get to a point where I can move on. And Zelda came out, and I picked up Super Mario 3D Land. But really, it comes back to, I pick up every game I want to play, and then... if I beat it, I move on. Sometimes if I don't even, if I don't beat it and I move on, I might not even come back to it. I mean, I picked up, and I love the Fable series, and I was excited for Fable 3, and I had it, I played it for a week, and something came out and just never went back to it. And I have a pile of shame in terms of video games. I have plenty of piles of shame, but the main one is my video game pile of shame. We won't get into the other ones, but Fable 3 is in there, Halo Wars is in there. Great games, but games that have kind of just, fell off the side while these new games come out.
I don't normally look at a huge release schedule. I find that there's franchises that I enjoy, like The Fable and The Bioshock and Elder Scrolls, that I know when their games are coming out. And then if there's anything else, usually, you know, by just listening to video game news and following like podcasts and Twitter and stuff like that, I find other games that are being hyped. But those are kind of the ones that I can usually buy them if I have some spare cash. Otherwise, I wait for them to get them used. Or, you know, like if it seems really, really, really great, then, you know, sometimes I might have to not eat for a week or something. But generally, I know when my big releases are coming out, and those are the ones that I go for. And then I just don't buy games through the rest of the, like, the in-between time.
Yeah, see, I have no self-control when it comes to this stuff. Like, if I see a game that I know I'm going to want to play at some point, I'll usually pick it up, even if it's just going to sit in a pile. Like just for, we were talking about Star Wars, I have early access. Yesterday, I had an hour and a half to actually start playing it, but I'm just like, you know what? I don't really want to get into an MMO for an hour and a half. I'd rather just play Zelda, and, you know, I'm close to finishing it, and I do not want that game to fall into my pile of shame. I want to finish that.
Mm-hmm.
In an MMO, I've played Warcraft. It's very hard. That's part of the reason I gave up World of Warcraft, is I found I was ignoring all these other great games because I was constantly playing this MMO.
Yeah. Which is kind of the reason I didn't get into WoW, is that I thought that it would take over too much of my life, and I'm a big console gamer, and, you know, like, I like all my other little games, so I thought it was kind of like either you play WoW or you play everything else, and so I went for everything else, plus I knew everybody in WoW was going to be already leveled up with a whole bunch of alt characters and just, you know, like, way, way, way ahead of me, so I was like, well, there's no point in picking it up now, whereas with Star Wars, I think it's going to take over my life because I'm going to be picking it up within a few weeks of everybody else, so I think that that'll be a good thing. But I'm hoping to get done with Zelda and with Skyrim and everything else before I get Star Wars.
Well, you got a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. Do you rush your play to try to finish, like you were saying that you tried to finish Uncharted before Skyrim and everything else, so you really rush through your stuff to get to finish it up before, or at least finish it to a point that you're happy with before something else comes out?
Yeah, I do. And that's kind of the sad part, is that, like, because I don't just sit there and enjoy the game, like, I found with Uncharted 3, like, before you knew it, it was over. And it was the same one with the second one, too.
I heard that one. I heard Uncharted 3 was pretty short. But there's a multiplayer, right? So you get more out of the game, right?
Oh, yeah. There is a multiplayer, and I played, like, a couple matches, and that's about it. Like, and I like the multiplayer, and I like the single player. I would love to revisit it because the set pieces in that game are totally worth playing again. But, like, again, it's just I got it, played it, loved it. But you got, I, to me, it's like, okay, you know, back on the pile. And that's probably why my game collection is just so vast, right? Because I just buy the game, enjoy it, and then, you know, shelve it. But yeah.
So given that your style of play and everything else, do you wait to receive games, or do you just kind of, you know, run out and get whatever you can get your hands on?
Sort of like it's Christmas, right? So it's the perfect example. Like, you had mentioned for Christmas, your mother says, like, don't buy any video games because I'm going to be getting you this. And that's how your mother sounds, I assume.
completely.
That's how all mothers sound.
Nobody ever listens to this. But yeah, so actually what happened, yeah, I can tell my Zelda story now, is sure. I woke up way, way early. I was at the store at like 7 o'clock in the morning. I go, I buy Zelda, I get my collector's edition with the remote that matches my tattoo, and I was so excited. And I come home, and my mom is sitting there with her tea, and she's like, where have you been? I was like, oh, I had to go get the new Zelda game, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, can I see it? And she took it, and she flipped it over and looked at the back, and she's like, thank you, and walked away with my new Zelda game. I was like, what? And she's like, well, it's a month before Christmas, Jocelyn. You can't buy yourself something a month before Christmas. So obviously, I'm just going to give this to you for Christmas, and you're going to have to wait. And I literally almost cried. There were tears in my eyes. They didn't actually spill down my face, but they were there. I was like, I felt like a spoiled little kid, like, no, give me back my video game. But it was actually traumatizing. So in general, I'm really good, and I can wait for games, but I got my Zelda back, obviously.
Of course.
But, yeah, normally I can wait for games, but there's some, like, Skyrim when it came out, and Zelda, and, you know, when Bioshock Infinite comes out, like, pff, forget it. I'm going to have it the first day, and I'm just going to play the crap out of it.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, with Christmas around the corner, like, I get asked, like, okay, Ryan, what do you want for Christmas? So I make a general list, and I have games on that list that, like, I wouldn't rush out to buy, but they're on that list where, like, if I see them at a good price or if I see them used at a good price, I'll pick them up and play them. Or get them as gifts. And that's not saying they're lesser games. I'm just saying that I would love to play them, but they're the games that I'm willing to wait while I play the, you know, the games I have to play right away.
Right.
Have to. I mean, gaming is a hobby, right? I don't have
no
to
way,
play
man.
The games.
Gaming is life.
Well, unfortunately, gaming is not really paying the bills these days.
I know.
It's kind of the opposite. But yeah, like
I work, therefore I game.
Yeah, I've asked for a few games, and I pick up games all the time, like Steam sales and the Humble Bundle stuff. Like all, yeah, like I get my hands on the games one way or another. But if I wait, it's usually because I'm just busy and I'm willing to play it at another time. But I mean, if it's a major Nintendo franchise that I love, I'll go out and pick it up. If it's, you know, Uncharted or, you know, anything in the Halo series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, I do have like a gift list of games or stuff I'll wait for. But not the big stuff. I'll usually run out and get that day one.
Yeah. All right, so I think we're going to move on to our recommendations, which we're calling A Fool and His Money Are Soon Parted. So we have some great ideas about where to drop your hard-earned coinage this week. And on the plus side, two of the three things we're going to talk about, free.
So you don't even need to use your coinage, right?
Exactly. My coinage can stay in my pocket.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll start with the iOS app. Now, this might, I think, well, anyways, we'll just stick with the iOS app for now. Called My Xbox Live, and really before this, you would have to use like third-party applications to access your Xbox Live stuff on your phone. And I always found it was janky. It never really worked perfectly. It worked,
well, yeah,
but
it
not
was
perfectly.
By Microsoft, so obviously
yeah.
It's not going to be perfect, but.
But this thing is by Microsoft, and it is really good. You're able to access your messages. You can even see your avatar. You can mm-hmm. see other people's avatars. You can even
and
see
they're animated too, which I was yeah. surprised. I thought it would just be like some like a snapshot or something, but it's like because I have a Skyrim dragon as my little pet thing that my avatar has, and she's like all playing with the dragon and everything else like on my phone. I was like, wow, this is impressive.
Mm-hmm. And like, it's a great like. Usually, what I use those apps for is to browse achievements. And like I'll look at the achievements and say like, oh, like what do I need to get? What do I want to get? What is possible to get? And just kind of look at what other people are doing, like, you know, see how far people are in their games. And you know, I don't send messages through the Xbox. I send them through the phone always. It's just easier because I don't have a keyboard attachment. But
no, I do.
But no, I highly recommend it if you have an Xbox account. Plus, it's free, right? So
yeah, you can't lose, really.
No brainer.
So there's one thing that I couldn't figure out how to do, and I don't know, again, if this is just me not knowing where to do it, and maybe if we have listeners, the listeners can write in and tell me. You can't redeem codes, or at least I haven't found a way to. And I'm not thinking necessarily as in like DLC content or whatever else, but after you told me that you could do Steam from your phone and, you know, like just kind of log in and tell it when to start downloading, I was like, well, if somebody, like it happens all the time, the Xbox guys are giving away avatar codes on Twitter. So you follow them on Twitter and then they post a code and you're like, well, this would be awesome if I was at home. Do you know what would be even more awesome if I could copy and paste into my Xbox Live app and then just download or like tell it that code has been redeemed? So I find that it's a little bit odd that you can't, given everything else that app will do. But like I said, I might just not have clicked on the right spot or swiped in the right place or something. So if anyone does know if you can do that, if you could let us know, that would be fantastic. I don't know, Ryan, have you found a way to do that at all?
No, but I mean, you might be able to log into Xbox.com on your phone and do it, but I mean, I don't know. I've never been able to do it, but you're totally right when you follow people who are giving stuff away. And it's like, well, that would be great if I was not at work or had an Xbox here, right?
Yeah.
But no, well, I haven't seen
that. If I had an Xbox at work, I'd never get anything done.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So the second app that we're going to talk about is another iOS app, and I don't know about you, Ryan, but I have an iPhone, so, I mean, we're probably never going to talk about Android stuff, so.
I don't have it.
Yeah. Heads up, guys. iOS stuff if we're ever talking about apps. So basically, the one that I looked at was Dragon Shout, which is for Skyrim, which I know I said no more Skyrim, but it just keeps coming up. So basically, I wish I'd had this all along. It's super easy to use, and it's basically just a map of Skyrim. And then you can make your own custom markers. So right now, it's just everything that I create. So I create my own custom markers. They're on my own custom map. But what they're working towards, because you have to create an account in order to use the app. But what they're working towards is you having like a more social, more social aspect. So like if you and I, Ryan, were friends on the app, then I could share my markers with you. You could share your markers with me. And then, so I'm sure that they're going to work towards having like maybe downloadable packs of markers and stuff like that. So you can say a dragon was here. And, you know, what I find, because the dragon bones and scales are so heavy, is that often I'll kill a dragon and then not be able to carry the loot away. So I could say, use the app and put a marker on the app saying, you killed a dragon here, Jocelyn. Remember to go back and pick that up. So I think it's really useful. I wish I'd had it the whole time, and I have had a chance to use it while I'm playing Skyrim, and it's awesome. So I would recommend getting it, and it's free. So
yeah, I think it would be neat, especially for the party stuff, is just to have like a crowdsource kind of thing where people are like, okay, this, with minimal spoilers, like this is a cool cave where you can get this, and this is a neat side quest that you should do because it's really, really cool.
And it seems like that's what they're working towards. They're also working towards having like a chat room kind of a thing where you can just sit and talk to your friends. And so I think when they get all that social stuff up and running, then it'll be awesome. Because I know right now a lot of the, not criticisms of Skyrim, but a lot of people have been saying they wish it was more MMO that you could play with your friends. Whereas I like the single player part of it. And when I find something cool, when I do something cool in Skyrim, then I usually tweet it. And I have, you know, some people like, well, you, if something really cool happens, like I'll just send you a DM and be like, oh my God, this really cool thing just happened in Skyrim. And then we have a conversation, but it's completely outside of the game. So I find I haven't lost the social aspect because I've never played an MMO. But, you know, like, I still talk to people about it all the time, and it sparks a lot of conversations and stuff. So I think if I could actually use the app as my way to talk to people, then, you know, this app would just be perfect. And, you know, Skyrim would be social, and everyone would be happy.
Yeah, if there's one thing about Skyrim, it's that it sparks conversation in how, like, everybody experiences everything differently, whether it's some weird bug, or it's just a way they approach a certain quest, or even just killing dragons. Like when we first started playing, like one of the first conversations that people would have is like, oh my God, the dragons are so hard. Oh, I found one here, and you know, stupid ice troll, you know.
Oh God, yeah, the ice troll.
Just think back like a month ago when we started playing the game. Like, it's weird. It's only been a month, and it's like, I don't know. I can't wait for
that. We were talking about it like every night. It's like every night I'd be like, oh my God, Ryan, I did this thing, and like I've hit this glitch, or I've hit here and I can't get any farther. Like, what should I go and do instead? And, you know, like, so I think that it was a hugely social thing for me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to the DLC they're talking about, because it's supposed to add like extra, like huge content areas, not just, like more expansions than like story parts, right?
Right.
Should be interesting.
Cool. Well, so the last thing that we're going to recommend is actually a recommendation from me, and it's not a gaming thing, but I figured for those of you that are in the Skyrim mood, then I'm sure a lot of you have probably already read this or been through it or have watched the new TV show, but basically Game of Thrones, A Song of Fire and Ice, it's just fantastic. I think everyone should read these books. I'm currently on the third one, which is A Storm of Swords, and it's just great. So if you're in the mood for a kind of big world, lots of characters, medieval battle type thing, it's great. And you know, if you're looking for a break from gaming or anything else, it's definitely worth your money. I think each book is like $10 or less, and I think you can buy them in a big pack now, the first four.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, I think I saw it on sale on Amazon for like $20 or $25 for the first four books. So you can't go wrong. Everyone should read these.
Yeah, like I have the first one here. I remember when the TV show started, like a friend of mine, he reads a lot of books, but he was watching the TV show and he couldn't stand having to wait a week for the TV show to come out. So he just went out and read the books, and he's probably on book three now as well. And I borrowed book one from him, and I'm like five pages in. I don't know what's wrong with me. It has nothing to do with the subject matter. I just think that I haven't read a full book in years, and I think it just has to do with all this conflicting entertainment, you know, mainly gaming. Just,
yeah.
I don't know. Teachers are right, kids. Yeah. games are great, don't get me wrong, but don't let it kind of eliminate, you know, I still read. I read all the time. I have a Wii, right? Okay.
All those dang Nintendo games and their captions.
Yeah. Like Zelda is like three Game of Thrones books. Like, let's not.
Yeah.
Maybe not three. Maybe one. But yeah, I still read, but I haven't read a full book. And I have Warcraft books that I have yet to crack open. I just buy them thinking I'll eventually get around to them. But no, that the series is good. And from what I've read in the first book, I don't know. It's pretty good.
All five pages of it.
Yeah, I don't even think I got a bookmark out to. I just, you know, keep reading the first five pages. It's just that good, kids. Kids. Sorry, for anyone over the age of 25, I guess you're not a kid. I would be the kid.
You are the kid.
Yeah. And not like. Anyways, we won't go down. Okay. So that was our recommendations, and now we're kind of winding down. We're going to be heading into listener feedback, or what we're calling Word to the Wise. I'm not going to read that because it's just a repeat of what I said. You know, obviously this is our first episode, and, you know, you haven't really gotten a chance to get a hold of us, but we fully expect in our second episode to have a flood of emails and Twitter responses.
Absolutely, because we're so amazing, so...
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Awkward silence. And so
moving
first,
on.
Yeah, we'll get, I'm sure somebody will feel the kindness in their heart to send us something like,
I know, hope so.
Yeah, hopefully, or else I'll be heartbroken.
Yep.
I'll just go giggling. Back to my whoring self.
And it comes back around.
Yeah. No, okay. So you can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. That's gamers with an S, not a Z, just in Z or Z, I guess. We don't have that. We're just
anyone
a normal
knows
gamers.
Knows
in
my
podcast.
Love of spelling and grammar, so I would never, ever, ever, ever put a Z in the middle of something like that. It's just, it's morally wrong.
Exactly.
Continue.
Anyways, you can visit our website at gamersinpodcast.com. You know, we'll be posting show notes there, our episodes. We'll eventually be on iTunes, I assume. You know, you can follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at GISGamer and me at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. We'll be posting when we have a new episode live, like when to send your questions in because we're going to be recording, stuff like that. Yeah, so that's Word of the Wise.
Okay, so before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg, who has been creating our awesome music and bumpers, as well as the fabulous Jill Duggan of Starcrossed Online, who drew our new Twitter avatars, which should be up hopefully before the podcast is, so I'm pretty excited about that. So thank you all very much for staying at the Gamers Inn. Check back next week when we'll be discussing our picks for Game of the Year 2011. This is also going to give us a chance to give our thoughts on some games from earlier in the year that we didn't get to review on the air because we're so brand spanking new. So we will see you next week.
I used to make picks for Game of the Year, but then I took an arrow in the knee.
Good night. That meme will never die.
Never ever.
Because it took an arrow in the knee. Oh,
now it's just a town guard.
Yeah, that meme is a town guard. Used to be an adventurer.
You're supposed to say 3, 2, 1.
Well, I mean, we can. It's not like this is tape. It's digital. We can use it. It's fine.
I know. I'm kidding.
All right. Okay. 3, 2, 1. That felt really long.
It was. Oh my god.